It is never too late to have a happy childhood. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. It's never too late to have a happy childhood. Now, I was driving down the street in Southern California yesterday, and I saw this on the back of a pickup truck, and I thought, what a marvelous statement that is. It's never too late to have a happy childhood. I had just returned from taking our student, Dorothea, who is 87, to her home before turning out on the highway again. And then here was that truck. It's never too late to have a happy childhood. Well, that very morning we'd been reading Illusions by Richard Bach. And in the book, it says, you can change the past, the present, and the future to be whatever you want it to be, because it's all in your mind. It's all your imagination. It's all your creation. You say, well, my gosh, this table here is certainly very solid, and I can't say the table is not here. Well, perhaps you're not at that level of consciousness yet, but you're at the level of consciousness of saying the table is here. That just means you're two-thirds of the way there. One-third, the table's not here. Two-thirds, the table is here. And three-thirds, you know, 100%, the table's not here again. You can create it any way you want. You just happen to be only two-thirds into the creation of tables. And that's not a bad idea, is it? It shows, you know, you're pretty good. Now, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. We all look back at our childhood. I was thinking the other day, when I was a youngster, I had been hit by a car a number of times, and my legs got broken. Once both of them, then several other times individual. And I spent a lot of time in the hospital as casts on my legs and stuff like that. Well, I do not remember being hit by the car. I do not remember the pain or the frightening. I'm sure it frightened me, but I don't remember that at all. I don't remember anything except I remember having flown through the windshield of the car. This is back in the 20s now, you know, and through the windshield of the car and landing in the back seat of the car. And my neighbor, who was driving, drove me to the hospital, and they took me in and fixed me up and got my parents over there to chide me for being careless in the street. And shortly after that, I was home. And my sisters were wheeling me around in the baby buggy and feeding me chocolate-covered cherries and all sorts of other things that helped my healing come along very rapidly, you know, all that good stuff. And they loved it. They just loved it. They didn't have a doll as pretty as I was, their little brother. And they would wheel me all over town, and then they'd say, this is my little brother, this is my little brother, you know. And today, you know, they sing another song. They say, this is my older brother. Because my sister May, especially, she always loved to say that I was older than she was. But that's okay. That doesn't make any difference to me. I'm 25. So it's never too late to have a happy childhood. Now, as I remember my childhood, it was all peaches and cream. Even with the difficult things, I wanted a radio. I wanted a radio with all my heart. I didn't know what I was going to do. And it was depression time. There was no money, and the radio cost something like, oh, $10 or something, maybe even less, but about $10. And so I went to work sweeping sidewalks and doing things and cleaning up, making pennies with each move. And finally, after a year and a half, I earned enough money to buy that radio. And you know that radio was still there in the window of that store? That was my radio. And it was there. It had a nice wood cabinet to it. It's a real pretty little radio. And I bought it and took it home. And I have no idea where it is now. But I used it for many, many wonderful years. And I remember that. I remember. And I remember every Saturday I'd be cleaning my room and listening to Jack Armstrong, All-American Boy, and Lone Ranger and The Shadow, and all these stories that were current for a Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning entertainment as the children were cleaning the house and taking care of duties around the home. So In creating my happy childhood, I create all of the wonderful adventures. Mother would say when we came home from school, now, take off your shoes and take off your clothes and put on your play clothes. And we thought she was just wanting us to have a good time. We didn't know that the shoes were not easy to come by. And if we wore them, we'd wear out the leather on them, and then we wouldn't have shoes to go to school. So she was making sure that we all took our shoes off, went outside barefoot to play, and with our short pants and things like that. And I remember that as fun. I remember that as a wonderful, happy experience. Now, I've read some books by some authors who tell about the terrible childhood they had and all the terrible things that they went through and how miserable it was. I thought, why are you reliving something that you don't even remember? Because you don't remember them. Other people are telling you about your childhood because you don't remember. You do not remember the bad things of your childhood. And some people say, well, the children were beat by their parents or something, and they remember this as such a terror. They don't remember that. As most of the children would say, I got attention from my mom or my dad, you know, and that's what they wanted. It was a loving attention from your point of view and my point of view would have been a lot better, but for them, that was a loving point of view. It was only when they were told by their aunt and uncles and by relatives and friends and neighbors and perhaps the police that their parents had beat them or been mean to them, that they realized their parents were beating them and mean to them. Why is it that a wife stays in a bad relationship year after year after year and the husband beats her and does all these things to her? Why does she stay? Because she doesn't consider it a bad thing. She's getting attention. She has someone who loves her, who bothers with her, who does these things, and she doesn't consider it bad. It's only when the police come in and say, you can't allow your husband to beat you up like that. That's not acceptable, you know. And when the neighbors come in and get angry about it and say, that's not acceptable, she had no idea. Her remembrance was that this was a family, and this was part of the program that she had to go by. Now, I don't recommend that we overlook the negative things of our childhood and that we say that they didn't happen. I don't recommend that we ever overlook any of the misery and unhappiness in our world and in our life. And you're saying to yourself, Herb, you're digging a hole. How are you going to climb out of that one? I don't say that we should ignore them. I say we should pay attention to our happy times. And remember that it was a happy time for you. It's only other people who told you it wasn't a happy time that made it appear like not a happy time today. You look at the Holocaust, and that was pretty terrible over in Germany. And it was in the childhood of a lot of these people. And none of these kids felt bad about it. That was where they lived. They lived in those prison camps. They lived with their parents. They didn't have much food. Nobody else did either. They didn't have this, that, and the other thing. Nobody else did either. They could starve at home in depressions, you know, or starve in the prison camp. For them, it was just a way of life. And they had no anger about it. But it's only that the courts and the government said that's wrong and that retribution must be given and they must have money for their unhappy circumstances. Well, that's okay. But you see, they're reliving it. They're redoing it. They're reliving the childhood, the life of that childhood in the negative terms that the child had never conceived of it. When you read the diary of Anne Frank, who was hiding from the Gestapo, it's exciting. And she doesn't think of it as a terrible thing. She just thinks it's a day-to-day activity. It's a day-to-day thing. And it's exciting. And when people were taken away and never came back, she had no idea, except perhaps that they were dead or something and they didn't come back. Or maybe they were free. They got away. And many of them did, of course. But you see, we can relive our childhood and we can live it as a happy childhood. Because it truly it was. all of the so-called negative things of our childhood were things that our parents or our elders told to us. My sisters just loved rubbing into me some of the things I did as a kid, and some of the things that I shouldn't have done, apparently. And I don't remember that at all. In fact, I just remember that I had a lot of fun. Now, why would my sisters do that? Well, because they were told by their elders that that's what happened. Now, quite likely, it didn't even happen, because we just do not remember the negative things of our life. We do not remember it. It's interesting, but true. We do remember the happy things. So, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. So if you came through the war years, if you came through depression times where there's no money, hey, look at today. The 1998, 99, 2000, the big boom in the tech arts, and then kaboom, everything collapsed, and giant manufacturing firms, giant companies in the hundreds of billions of dollars collapsed. And so those people didn't go and commit suicide. Some of them were put in prison for not having been good managers, but that's another thing. And in prison, they're learning how to play golf. But they always make a good thing out of it. And now, if you read Business Week magazine, you see where many of the people who were involved in those things and who lost great deals of money are rebuilding their company. Ellen is telling me about one of our sponsors in Europe who is sponsoring our seminars in Switzerland, a very fine fellow. And he had a business with television and computers and stuff. And this was back in the early 80s. And he went broke, bust, lost everything, went right to the bottom. And now, a few years later, he's back up again, back up higher than he was before, because he didn't know failure. He didn't know defeat. He didn't know unhappiness. He merely recognized that, hey, made a mistake there, lost it all, okay, I did it before, I'll do it again. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, if he were to concentrate, to dwell upon his failure, would he be a success? No way. Because he would be giving all his attention to his failing. I tell you, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. And I'm always having my childhood, and having a very happy one all the time. Ingeborg, are you having a happy childhood?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. And Sylvia, I don't want to ask you. Every time I talk to Sylvia about her childhood, she tells me about some beautiful experience where everybody worshipped her and everybody appreciated her, and the neighbors came running over and said, "What a good girl you are. Won't you come and cook at my house and do this?" I mean, my goodness sake, she must have been some little princess or something. I think she had the red slippers, you know. But, and Ellen, my goodness, when she tells, here she is in 1939, when she's born in Germany as the war is underway, and she tells me that they were in the basement because there was bombs dropping all around, and that her uncle opens the basement door and goes outside to watch the bombs falling. And the rest of the family said, "Get in here!" And he says, "No, this is neat. You should see this." You know? And they thought he was crazy. But does he remember it as a happy time? Exciting! I mean, Disneyland never had a spread like they had with the bombs falling in Europe. That's terrible, but that's the way it was, you know. And when you can remember these things as happy times, not that it was right or wrong, that's not our point, you know. Bombing is wrong at any time, killing is wrong at any time, no matter what the circumstances. But the thing is, when you watch it and you say, "Wow, isn't that something?" And can you imagine if we were in an airplane flying over Southern California when the big fires were raging here through the open lands, wiping out thousands of acres. What a glorious sight that would be. Terrible. Terrible, because it's wasting all that property and putting down 1,400 houses and stuff like that. But it would be a sight to be seen, you know. And that's why they photograph it. Now, if you look at it as negative, then it's bad. But the Indians had a word for it. They said, every so often God starts a fire to clear the land and clean out the pestilence of the land and make the land ready for them to sow their crop. Whereas if the land were still there with all the brush and stuff, they couldn't sow their crop. Because the Indians basically were lazy people. They would till tillable land, but they wouldn't prepare land to be tilled. But the Europeans, they came over, and they were tillers from way back, and they cleared the land, took down the trees, and took out the stumps, and picked out the rocks, like those Scottish and Irish people, you know, picking up the rocks and building fences out of the rocks, with, as long as they got the rocks there, you know. And was that a happy time? My goodness, that was a happy time. And the early pioneers living out in the wilderness, and they didn't have any access to going to the store to buy clothing and anything else. They had to make their stuff and make it do. And I quite imagine that the men of the family who went out to plow the fields took their clothes off and hung them on a tree limb and worked. And then when they were done working, then they jumped in the creek and they washed off and put their clothes back on, and they came home, and their clothes last them forever, you know, because it was only worn going to and from home. And do they remember that with joy? Oh, boy, do they remember that with joy. Jumping into that, they don't remember working hard in the fields. That was good, too. But their muscles developed, and they were strong, and they were beautiful, and they were singing good songs and just having a wonderful time working their hearts out. It's never too late to have a happy childhood. So I bless you with my wish for you. Wish is wrong, but with my recognition for you that you not only had a happy childhood, but you remember it only as a happy childhood. I love you. I think you're wonderful, and I think everything is beautiful in my world.